Hello, the internet, and welcome to this episode of the Weekly Zeitgeist. These are some of our favorite segments from this week, all edited together into one nonstop infotainment laugh extravaganza. So without further ado, here is the Weekly Zeitgeist. So what happened over the weekend? I tried to keep Trump news out of my brain as much as possible on my vacay. So can you explain to me what the latest is with the Trump Tower meeting?
Okay, so you've heard of Donald Trump.
Yes.
Okay, you've heard of senior. Thank you. And you've heard of Dju, Don Jr.
Uh huh.
Okay, so we know Don Jr. and we know
Dju.
Yeah, it's like from when they Homer said, "We can call him Hoju."
I thought that was a content aggregator on Instagram.
No. And then so you know, he's clearly over the last week. We were talking about how he's so transparent in signaling his frustrations and how you can tie every single tweet back to a specific news story that he's just addressing. It's not just like, oh, he's saying stuff again.
And it's like most of the time it's like you can attribute it back to a news story that's been on this show within the last 25
minutes. 100 seconds.
Yeah.
100%.
I said 100 seconds. Mueller, by the way, is paying attention to his Twitter.
Yeah, I think he definitely he probably has the internet, right?
Right.
Yeah. Okay, cool. That'll help out with the whole investigation.
Right. So, there was an article in the Washington Post that sort of described how Trump is sort of increasingly going from angry to more worried about Don Jr.'s legal future since he, you know, up and done a conspiracy against America. And so they say from the article, they say, quote, Trump has confided to friends and advisors that he is worried about the Mueller probe and how it could destroy the lives of what he calls innocent and decent people, namely Donald Trump Jr., who is under scrutiny by Mueller for his role organizing a June 2016 meeting at Trump Tower with Russians promising dirt on Hillary. And then they go on, they said, he does not believe his son purposely broke the law, but is fearful nonetheless that Trump Jr. inadvertently may have wandered into legal jeopardy. That is very...
I like how the wording shifts there.
Yeah. That he did the... But
didn't break the law, but maybe by the end of this long sentence, you'll think about something else.
Yeah. He done stumbled into a conspiracy.
His car freezes jumping over a ravine.
Yeah, thank God.
Don Jr. done got himself into a whole mess of trouble, and then the car lands on the other side.
But, great Dukes of Hazzard reference.
Yeah, both cars definitely have the rebel flag on them.
But since the president is like the rapper Bone Crusher and thus never scared, he fired off this tweet just to prove how, you know, so relaxed he is. And so this is a tweet from, I think, yesterday from 5:30 in the morning. Fake news reporting a complete fabrication that I am concerned about the meeting my wonderful son Donald had in Trump Tower. This was a meeting to get information on an opponent. Totally legal and done all the time in politics. And it went nowhere. I did not know about it. Okay, so here's the thing. It almost seemed like he gives a shit about his son, which is the most striking thing.
If it was Eric, he wouldn't have said my wonderful son.
Yeah, I think both sons.
He would have said my, I think, taller
son. I think other son. Yeah. So I guess he cares about him. But the whole thing of, this happens all the time and it's legit is total bullshit. I mean, yes, getting opposition research is, you know, huge part of running.
Right. I remember one president I heard actually broke into a hotel to do it.
Yeah.
Which
and it worked
like
out.
A good move. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, so the oppo part, I think we all understand that you need that to sort of create negatives about or pull out negatives about your opponent. So then the voters will be like, oh, okay, maybe he doesn't. His voting record is this. Mm-hmm. But to accept any help from a foreign national or hostile foreign government, see, that is a crime. Right. And it's a completely different situation. And the whole thing of like, well, it went nowhere and blah, blah, blah is like, it's like, not that it's one for one, but it's like, well, I hired the hitman to kill my husband, but he didn't kill him.
Imagine if Lee Harvey Oswald hadn't killed him. He's like, I shot him, but he's not like dead.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, not that it's a completely one for one like that, but you've engaged in the conspiracy to commit this crime. And, you know, they want to say like, well, it wasn't even good stuff. It's like a thing, isn't
that
a real defense?
It's definitely shifted from... This has never happened. This didn't happen how you said it did. This happened but isn't a crime. This happened but maybe is a crime, and he got nothing. To now the next steps is this was a crime.
Yeah.
Like it's just slowly shifting.
Right, and you're running out, and it's the same thing with like his talking heads that have to go out. So like Rudy Giuliani had a terrible couple weeks, the last 2 weeks, where he was just going out and like like literally breaking news or then walking it back in a way that he was confusing like people on Fox who were trying to like walk him through his logic.
It's incredible to watch Rudy Giuliani navigate any conversation that's not about 9/11.
Right. Yeah. Or the Yankees.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's only his two strong points.
You know, I told W to throw that pitch out.
Okay. All right. Right. All right, Rudy. So that's me. Yeah. And so when you saw last yesterday on the Sunday shows, one of Trump's lawyers, Jay Sekulow, he went on to George Stephanopoulos' show. And even like, you know, this week was looking bad because there were also reports about like, yeah, Trump knew about Flynn being compromised and still asked Comey to ease back on the investigation, thus creating an obstruction of justice case. And even Jay Sekulow, I think he literally reached into his like bag of like rhetorical rebuttals and literally grabbed nothing and threw this just weird argument out. So this is his defense of the president's probable obstruction of justice.
Are you suggesting it wouldn't be a problem if the president pressured James Comey to let the Flynn investigation go after knowing that Michael Flynn was under criminal investigation?
Well, I want you to understand something. I mean, I know this sounds remarkable to a lot of people, but if there was investigations going on Martin Luther King Jr., and do you think if President Kennedy would have gone to J. Edgar Hoover and said, hey, stop that, that would have been an obstruction of justice claim? I mean, of course not. That would have been Article II authority. But none of that has happened here. There's been no shutting down of any investigations, no shutting down of any inquiries.
That was, I love the just complete silence on the other
That's
end
incredible.
When he asks that question.
That's incredible.
Like, I think yeah. he's hoping the person would be like,
well, you
no,
know, Lincoln was
I
a
guess.
Republican.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So he's on the penny.
Right.
It's, yeah, the arguments are getting thinner and thinner and worse and worse. And yeah, this is just kind of, again, I don't even understand the logic there. Is that like,
because
Martin Luther King was probably being harassed by the FBI because he was like doing some, because of his civil rights leadership, that they identified him as like a threat
right.
to stability in this country.
I think he meant today, though, if he had asked Kennedy today. to slow it down, I, you know. Maybe.
Yeah, I don't. It's very. It's yeah. I don't know.
I mean, it makes sense to me because that was a corrupt FBI that was persecuting an innocent person, and
right.
they're trying to portray our FBI as persecuting an innocent president and all of his innocent henchmen, because innocent people have henchmen, and he, you know. But it's just. When you find yourself comparing Flynn or
Michael Flynn.
Michael Flynn to Martin Luther King Jr., like that's the point where you're like, oh shit, no, like that.
Yeah.
That's just that doesn't pass the anything test.
God.
Yeah.
I think you know, and it makes sense as the Manafort trial heats up because like the other reporting, it really is that like it's less anger now and it's a lot more fear.
That's
from
people
president.
Who are like talking to aides behind the
yeah.
scenes.
But again,
like,
who
he
I mean,
seems scared.
Yeah,
but
we
Trump
are
is never scared.
Yeah. We're all still living in the until something happens, nothing's going
to
happen.
Yeah, exactly.
Part,
like it's hard
look
to speculate.
At what has happened.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And just on the everybody else does this. A lot of people would have taken that meeting thing. Trump's defense there. You know, we've talked about this before, but Al Gore,
right.
In preparing for a debate with George W. Bush. He was handed basically all of George W. Bush's preparation, like all of his
the
notes.
Whole coloring book.
It's like
yeah,
his study
whole...
book.
His study book, like all the arguments, all the ideas he was going to use.
All the pop-ups.
It's a highlights magazine.
And yeah. he immediately turned it over to the FBI.
Right.
Probably partially because he thought he was just going to roll yeah. over Bush and like didn't think it was going to be a problem. But also, you know, the thing that he was afraid of. Was probably, well, what if it's from the Russians or something?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, how are we to know who this
right,
is
like,
from?
Right, like, what's the source of information then, influencing an American presidential
right,
election?
Right, that's, you know,
should
we do
I be
not
skeptical?
Want to be involved in a vast conspiracy to throw this election.
And now he's an award-nominated filmmaker.
Right, and, but, you know, Trump, in this case, knew that it was from Russia, and, you know, at least we know that Donald Jr.,
There's some balls to the defense of, well, but it was lame information.
Right.
Yeah.
These idiots are lame.
It wasn't even good. It wasn't
yeah.
even like any
He's
Pizzagate
like
stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like, God, these guys suck. But yeah, like a lot of people point out that like this isn't the first time Russians have tried to help a presidential candidate and they've all turned it down. Like I know there was they were saying in the 80s, like in 84, Moscow was like, they offered help to quote any candidate of either party as long as they were against Reagan. And people are like, no, dude. What?
Again, you know, Reagan, who's definitely not touted by Republicans as the greatest president of all time.
Right. Yeah.
So Trump went at LeBron James over the weekend.
Yeah, because he was a black guy who had said something about him. And we know that's, you know, when you look at the criteria it takes for Donald Trump to come at you in a non-politics setting or even a politics setting, it's you should be a person of color who says something about him. As we've seen, like,
or
Jemele
even
Hill.
Just like kind of has any success.
Yeah, as long but those are the people who really get something out of him. Like, you know, other politicians be like, wait, hold on, what did LeBron say? So he was on, did an interview with Don Lemon on CNN to talk about his new school where he's, you know, creating a like massive opportunity for these kids in Akron of
just,
being like
just another divisive issue.
Yeah,
opening up schools for at-risk youth.
Yeah, and being like, "Hi, we'll pay for your school. We'll get you a bike so you can get to school. If you don't have food at home, we'll have a pantry so you can eat at home."
And a thing you were talking about earlier, where you're talking about like underprivileged people and people not having opportunities in downtime of school. The school also is a longer school year and then offers up programs for the kids
100%.
Outside of it.
And on top of it, if you graduate, then they will pay for you to go to college. Right. I mean, God, what a fucking asshole this LeBron.
It's just these polarizing issues. You know?
And so, well, again, that was all fine. But then it came to a moment where Don Lemon was talking about how divisive the current atmosphere is in politics right now in the country, and what LeBron's doing is a great thing. And they said, you know, Don's like, what would you say to the president if you were sitting across from him, you know, to talk to him? And LeBron was just very flatly was like, I would never be sitting across from him.
Uh-huh.
And cue angry racist grandpa on his quest.
Honestly,
to
that is giving a
them.
Run for you're not interesting to look at as best specific. Because that's so specific.
Yeah,
not,
that's even more
I would
like,
call him a bum, which he has done,
which
I loved. But I would never be across. Not I would turn down. It's so specific. No,
like I would never
it's
be
incredible.
In that situation.
I would never be in a situation to be across
I would put myself
him.
At risk.
Yeah.
Intellectually. So, yes, then he fires off this tweet. LeBron J. This is from Donald J. Trump. LeBron James was just interviewed by the dumbest man on television, Don Lemon. He made LeBron look smart, which isn't easy to do. I like Mike. Okay, so again, Donald Trump does his thing again where he tries to make people of color be, I guess, stupid people.
Right.
And painting the first Don Lemon, who is African American, as the dumbest man on television.
Uh-huh.
That's actually you, my man. And then going at saying LeBron looks smart, even though in the past Donald Trump was all about LeBron.
I love
his
LeBron.
Teats. Oh, I'm rooting
for
him.
He's so happy he moved to Miami.
Yeah, it's his year. It's his year. Go LeBron. But he had the audacity to basically be like, nah, the president's disgusting and I don't want to be around him.
I'm excited for LeBron James to be worth more money than Donald Trump.
He already
very
is.
Soon. Like
he
definitely
is,
already is.
Yeah.
And it's so. What an incredible thing to take any time of your day doing as the president.
Right. Of a thing. And I love all the tweets that are saying, like, LeBron puts kids in school
and the
and
time
you
to
put
do
kids
it
in
is
cages.
Incredible.
Yeah.
Right.
3 days after the school opened. Now's the time. Dude, come at him in the finals.
Right.
Right.
There's all these times where a bunch of people be like, I hate you, but I agree with you.
Right.
But now it's like LeBron James' stock could not possibly be higher.
Right.
Yeah. And, you know, I like how because he said, I like Mike. So cue a very Michael Jordan response is just sort of like, I support LJ. He's doing an amazing job for his community.
That was
end quote.
Michael Jordan said that?
Yeah,
but he meant Larry Johnson. He supported him for being in Space Jam.
Yeah, right.
I support Grandmama Larry Johnson and all of his efforts for the Charlotte basketball
also,
team.
Also, one disclaimer, the React juice in those Converse sneakers aren't actual juice.
Right.
But yeah, I guess the whole, that's also such an MJ thing too. He couldn't have given a more,
you know,
he doesn't give a fuck.
Guy.
He's an asshole.
Yeah, Republicans buy sneakers too. Famous quote
from Michael Jordan. Yeah.
Plus, kids in cages make great shoes.
Yeah, exactly. So
little tiny
out.
Hands to get those laces. I'm wearing Nikes right now, and I'm like, oh, that hypocritical Michael
that
Jordan.
I am
like,
wearing Jordans
right
now.
Yeah, I bought
now,
Jordans
so.
I bought in Chinatown in New York. Like,
yeah, the money thing is something that I hadn't thought about for a while, but the fact that, like, the myth he's most worried about people finding out about him is that he's not as rich as he says he is. So I do wonder, like, do we think all of this is just a distraction so that people will stop asking for his tax returns? Like his whole presidency?
That kind of seemed to prompt the entire
snowball. I mean, shit, if the Democrats win
the
midterms, you might be seeing those tax returns real quick.
Yeah.
But I think the other thing, it's funny too, now that you say that, is that there is a lot that I think that resonates with a lot of Americans that do vote for Donald Trump and a lot of Americans in general. And I talked about this last week of just sort of this idea that a lot of people also spend money to simply fight off the appearance of not of being poor.
Right.
Like, and that's a lot of the situation when you look at how there's just a virtually no middle class or whatever, and people don't earn enough on a spectrum for the time that they put into their jobs. Like Donald Trump, he's lying about what he's got. And it also appeals to people who might be in denial that their situation is actually a lot worse than it is. And they're like, yeah, maybe they feel
that. Probably not like the most politically productive line of attack, but it is the one that would hurt him the most.
Yeah, I've never seen more people with no business talking about it telling me why bankruptcy is a good move. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, what are you talking about? We're all at Wendy's right now. Right?
Yeah, exactly.
These people say, well, actually, be smart to go bankrupt. It's smart. There's a freaking casino going bankrupt.
Right? You just asked to dip your fries into my milkshake.
Yeah. Look, we're all in this Uber pool right now. I don't need to be learning this from the driver.
One pool, one love. And then also Melania even got messy too, because she just came out of nowhere without being asked for comment. She wasn't at an appearance anywhere. She just had her spokesperson put out a quote that was just, it looks like LeBron James is working to do good things on behalf of our next generation. And just as she always has, the First Lady encourages everyone to have an open dialogue about issues facing children today.
I'm sorry, this is the biggest, I hate so much that people call people disagreeing about facts open dialogue.
Right.
You can't, when something's objectively true or false, you can't have an open dialogue with both sides.
Freedom of speech,
right,
bro.
Yeah. It's incredible.
Just think about how I feel, though. Okay.
What about my feelings? I feel like I don't want to know what the truth is.
No, but the truth scares me.
I think we skim past the fact that if Donald Trump's tax returns come out, it's going to be funny watching him try and remember his TurboTax password. He was like the only billionaire who probably had to file online, and he's like, what's the free version? Do I have audit protection?
What is it, $30 more? Yeah, forget it.
I don't have that.
Forget it.
I don't have that.
What do I look like, a rich guy?
Yeah.
So Miles, what's going on in the Paul Manafort?
I mean, not much. You know, we all know Paul Manafort is so capital
Ostrich
G guilty.
Wearing.
Yeah, and you know, this is what all the lawyers call a documents case. Because a lot of it has to do with a lot of his fraudulent claims about his income and defrauding banks and lying about his money and money laundering, et cetera, et cetera. So there is clearly a mountain of evidence up against him, but they just need a few witnesses just come through and be like, yes, that it is what it looks like. So, yes, cut to Rick Gates, who was Paul Manafort's protege and his like right-hand man when Paul Manafort was running the Trump campaign, and even stayed after Paul Manafort left.
Yeah, was a big figure on the Trump campaign.
Yeah, he's the number two, and then I think took over the inauguration committee after that. So he took the stand yesterday in the trial, and it essentially just boiled down to this, him going up on the stand just saying, yes, Paul Manafort and I committed crimes, and I also helped him commit crimes, and also I used to steal money from him.
It was so refreshingly plain spoken in a way that I didn't expect. Like, reading over transcripts, you always assume someone would be like, well, crimes is a very, it's all-encompassing. Like, I'm not really sure. At the time, what I was doing, this guy was like, oh, yeah, I woke up and I looked at my schedule and it said, crimes with Paul. And and then I did crimes with Paul.
And then more criming at 5.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, as we've said on the show earlier, too, like, that there's plain email threads back to each other where he's like, help me doctor this, like, PDF. I can't do it in Word and I need to make it look like I make more money. And then he sends it back. And then Paul Manafort literally is like, can you make this a PDF for me? The bank needs it as a PDF. And, like, it's just all there. Just all, like, you know.
Also, while I've got you, Hotmail is different right now. Can you come and fix that? It's not the way I like it.
How did I change the picture that comes? Why does my last name come up before my first name? I don't like that. It was very easy time. And I guess, you know, when you think about why it was so clean in terms of him when the prosecution was talking to him, or what do you call that? They were
cross-examining?
Cross-examining, thank you. He was just up there because he's got a plea deal with Robert Mueller. And it's essentially, you know, he was looking at 10 years for lying to the FBI and conspiracy against the United States. Probably not a good thing you want on your record.
Right.
And because he's cooperating, I think they're knocking it down. But yeah, it's clear that he's just like, yes, whatever you need. So I don't have to go to jail for 10 years.
Right.
I will tell you.
Because the evidence is so damning, they really allow them to bring out like the C squad of lawyers to come. Now, did you do crimes? Yes.
Yes.
No further questions.
Yeah, no, literally, it was almost like that. And, you know, good luck to Paul Manafort's defense team, because I mean, you know, there's a chance that maybe the jury could be convinced that Rick Gates isn't reliable because he's also a criminal. But, I mean, like most cases where you have someone snitch on the other person, you have to kind of be like, well, he's pretty credible, why he's doing it. But, yeah, I mean, even if a lot of pundits are saying, like, even if Rick Gates didn't take the stand, the fucking documents are just all there already. So it was more just for them to like really underline and underscore, like, yeah, these guys, this is what they do.
Right. And again, this is the guy who was in charge of the inaugural committee for the president. He played a big role. Like, whether you believe that anything he says about Manafort, he's like, I do crimes. I steal from everyone.
I steal from my own boss.
I do the worst. I am bad. And people, it's amazing how far we've come in terms of like what we're used to and what we're just like dismissing. Like, this is a, you know, just week defining news story in any other time, other administration.
It's the first Trump campaign official who has in court admitted to committing crimes.
Right. Mm-hmm. We, you know, used to talk about like, wow, what if this thing goes as deep as like Watergate? What if this is our Watergate?
Right.
We're like, this is like Watergate is nothing compared
Watergate
to this.
It's a fucking Pixar movie.
This guy, Morton Halperin, who was like, he was on Nixon's enemies list, and he was a, you know, he helped write the Pentagon Papers and then served on Nixon's National Security Council staff and, you know, actually criticized him. He was like one of Nixon's like mullers, basically. And the New Yorker interviewed him and was like, so how do you think like this compares to Watergate? And he was just immediately like, oh, Trump's way worse. He's far worse than Nixon, certainly as a threat to the country, which like you would totally expect him to be like, you know, I stopped the worst person.
Right, right.
But he's just like, no. We do not hold a fucking
I'm too
candle.
Old for this shit.
Yeah.
So also, I think just for a timing perspective, because John Lovett tweeted this morning, if the Trump presidency is a marathon, we have just passed mile 10.
Oh,
right.
Jesus.
That's where we're at timing wise. And Jack and I, we've both run marathons. So.
Yes.
We know there's quite a bit more after that.
What, it's 26.2 miles?
Mm-hmm.
Right. Uh-oh.
The last 6 miles are like, you know, that's 20 miles.
Yes.
They really say that in your brain, the first 20 miles are only the halfway point.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
As a fellow marathoner, Daniel, you would get that.
I agree with that. Yeah.
Okay, fantastic. What is a marathon? Technically the distance between the town of Marathon and like Athens or something? Isn't that why the distance is 26.2 or something like that?
It was something.
It comes from mythology.
Well, we don't all need to flex. I was feeling good about my marathon stuff.
No, I just
and
remember
now I feel dumb and small.
No, because people always have those 13.1 or 26.2 mm-hmm. bumper stickers. I'm like, the 26.2 is so specific.
Right.
Like when people are like, yeah, I ran a 10K or 25K or whatever.
Right.
I'm like, why 26.2?
Like a bunch
2?
Of fucking jerks. Yeah. 10K.
Wow.
Jack, losers. When you're driving and you see someone with a 13.1 sticker, do you like ram them a little bit? I used to do that all the time.
Yeah. Well, I just feel entitled to cut them off because they're less than me.
Right. They clearly don't want it as bad.
All right. We'll be right back. And we're back. Well, another name is John.
Hot transition.
Woo!
Wow.
You see that
another
little post pivot right
John,
there?
John and Papa is one of the Johns. All of this was written out ahead of time. Papa John's is not doing well, guys.
No, they aren't. They just, of course they're not, because you have a fucking wacky avatar owner or founder who refuses to go away and blame everyone but himself. And they just reported their earnings fell by another 6% this last quarter because, Mr. John Schnatter or whatever, he's getting too messy out here in the streets. So they have a new plan, which is to spend $50 million and hire an army of, quote, advertisers and consultants to basically scrub old Papa John's existence entirely from, like, their marketing universe and
right.
be like,
so wild.
We are this whole other thing. I mean, unless you fucking change your name to just like not fucking Papa John's, I don't know if how you're gonna distance yourself from
should
this
change
thing.
Change it to Lil John's.
Lil John's,
yeah.
What? these pizzas will have. This pizza is okay. Not that good. But yeah, so right now, their current CEO is sort of saying like their whole strategy is like, you know, millennials and Gen Zers. They've left us for actually good pizza or just not eating as much pizza. So their whole thing is to try and bring the youngins back in and they can avoid total destruction. And like they're even talking about pivoting to sort of like a more, quote, purpose-driven model like Chipotle is talking about. So I don't know if that means like...
What is Chipotle doing that has purpose besides...
They have like short stories on their bags, I think.
Oh, yeah. I remember the one of the first times I went to Chipotle, there was like a George Saunders quote. And I just, but right. It just made me concerned for George Saunders. I'm like, does he need money?
Right.
Is he poor?
Yeah. Right. There's like a Neil Gaiman or whatever the fuck that guy's name is.
I know there's like
a short story on there.
Gaiman.
I guess their purpose driven thing with Chipotle is like being like Tom's or something. I'm not sure.
I'm excited for like Instagram influencers to start shilling for Papa John's.
Yeah, yeah.
Of like a really hot 17-year-old just like eating a slice and being like, it's not your mom's John's.
Yeah, right. The it's way, not your papa's John's.
Yeah, that makes
the way Chipotle is talked about, they say they've demonstrated a little bit of our personality and our sense of humor. And they said the commercials, they feature close-ups of their fresh ingredients and quippy voiceover. And the CEO wants customers to see Chipotle as a purpose-driven lifestyle brand to help people think. What? I just it's more than just a place to eat.
Yeah.
So.
But is it?
A place to have diarrhea?
Right.
Right. To have Frank Zappa's sharts.
Sharts, yeah. I mean, we go to Chipotle occasionally, but I've definitely fallen off that bandwagon. There's a while when like my blood type was Chipotle.
But when we do go to Chipotle, it's because we identify with their quippy voiceover.
Exactly.
You've always said that.
I've always said that as a millennial. I'm like, where's the quippy VO at?
I honestly am like, I lost my library card. Where can I go to get some literary, literary stuff? I'm like, oh, I'll just go to Chipotle and take a giant dump while reading the bags. That is nice that one of the poopiest restaurants in the entire world provides you with reading material while it exits you.
Boom. Yeah.
I don't know. I say don't sleep on the other Papa, sweet little Gino. Did you ever go to Papa Gino's?
No.
It's an East Coast pizza chain. It's don't sleep on Gino's. I hope that Gino is. I used to date the assistant manager of Papa Gino's, not to freak anyone out.
Okay, full disclosure. Thank you.
I have an in at Papa Gino's, or I did in the late 2000s. So I think that Gino's takes this opportunity to be like, there's a vacant Papa throne.
Right.
And he's like, okay, so here. And so Gino's is a cutie pie. He's like a little cartoon who looks like the drummer in the Chuck E. Cheese band, a.k.a. Pasquale.
There you go.
Yeah.
And this is basically a mainly Massachusetts-based pizza brand because
I keep saying Papa
when
Gino's
you when you think of pizza, you think Massachusetts.
We want the Commonwealth of Massachusetts. Commonwealth. Yes.
Give me the Papa Gino.
I mean, they could change their name to fucking Papa Smurfs, and I think we'd be better. Or even Papa Doc. Or
Papa
fucking,
Doc. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, fucking Papa Shango. I don't know anything but fucking Papa John's.
Yeah, well, Papa himself, John Schnatter, whatever the fuck his name is.
Schnatter.
Okay. he was saying that the reason their stock is actually down is that they're chasing these millennials and they changed their colors.
Colors, yeah.
And the color change is what has them.
Yeah, it's not blaming. It's not blaming people protesting police brutality in
like
the
NFL. All these people under 30 don't understand the colors.
Right.
And so interesting of him to make a color-based argument to a fucking idiot.
Yeah. So the thing that people don't understand is the thing people want with their pizza is the same colors as before and like right-wing politics. Like that's what you want to associate with your pizza eating experience. So now this brings me to the story that has made me the most skeptical that there is a blue wave, or you know, that any rational thing will happen in the future of America.
With Hacko's spy
is so there was a USA Today survey that was based on 22,500 customers in America. They were asked about the quality of products, services, and satisfaction with more than 380 companies in 46 industries. And the limited service restaurants list, I'm going to give them to you in order.
This is fast food?
Yes. A limited service is fast food, right.
What a euphemistic term.
Right.
A limited service restaurant.
Top of the list, Chick-fil-A. I'm okay with that. I mean, politically, not great, but like
they're very polite.
I understand where they're coming from, and like their food is satisfying. Panera bread is confusing to me.
Oh, I like Panera.
Yeah, it's nice that they just let you chill there
for hours while you eat a Yeah, I used to always eat the Asiago roast beef sandwich when I was in college.
I was the broccoli cheddar in a bread bowl if I could afford it.
Oh, wow.
In college.
All right, Moneybags Loftus over
That's here. That's where all the moms go to gossip.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you want to find exactly. out. That is the hot Panera, mom goss. Yeah,
it right, it's always like a Panera Nera, like a gym or yoga studio. Where it,
next door to a nail salon. Like, yeah, fully the moms, it's the Panera's last stop.
So Panera makes sense because that's where we're going to have our town hall meetings going forward. Yes. Right? Like that is
all
the town
meaningful
center.
Discourse will right. take place at a Papa John's.
Number three, Papa John's.
Number three?
The highest rated pizza restaurant, right. The third highest rated fast food restaurant.
Before Domino's?
Way before Domino's.
No.
Next one is Pizza Hut, somehow.
What?
And then Subway.
This like, list is we're, bunk.
What? Subway, no. Subway, yes. They fucking suck. I love the cookies. I occasionally eat the sandwich, but... Yo, the people at the Subways I go to, they act like I'm fucking bothering them every time I ask for just anything. I'm like, oh, can I get a little more of this? And they're like, ugh.
I've had some good discourse at Subway.
Really?
Yeah, I ask, because I always ask where the seafood sensation's at. I'm like, when they bring back the seafood sensation, and they're like, oh, it's good that they took it away. It was really bad.
Right.
It's like
was
asking,
that a seafood salad? Like a was, mayonnaise like, seafood salad?
It was a jar of mayonnaise with some imitation crab inside of it. And it cost like $10.
So like a shrimp tail.
It was really bad. I used to love the seafood sensation as a young buck.
Wait, and weren't you also the tuna fish eater at Dunkin' Donuts?
I was young tuna.
Yeah, so you just fuck with the fast seafood shit.
I like the gnarliest, mayonnaise-iest, most dangerous food.
Honoring your Bostonian roots, just embracing the sea.
Just mayo-based meat dishes, yeah.
Is Long John Silver's even a thing anymore? Do you know what that is?
Yeah, but I feel like they just crop up occasionally
right.
at malls.
Fast food.
Yeah, are they doing like
seafood
combination Pizza Hut, Long John Silver type thing? Are they Yum Brands?
Know. Oh, it is like a combo.
Oh, wait, no,
combo
they're
LJ. One.
They're their own company.
Oh.
In eighth grade, when you won the award for being the student of the month in your grade in Lexington, Kentucky, at the public school I attended, the reward was going to Long John Silver's corporate headquarters and getting a tour.
Oh, right, because they're based in Louisville.
Yeah.
Was it cool?
It was so cool.
Really?
We got to like go in their test kitchen and eat really gross food.
But congrats on Student of the Month, by the way.
Thank you.
Wow. Sorry, no one had mentioned that. I'm really sorry about that.
All a roundabout way of letting you know in eighth grade, I was...
Got it.
A kiss ass.
And you've been to the LJS HQ.
Right, exactly.
Good on you.
Been looking for a way to...
Yeah, Domino's, you know, they should be up there a little bit more.
Yeah.
Domino's is way the fuck down there.
I mean, we came for Domino's, but...
Little Caesars is down there. Wendy's is way down there. Like, Wendy's is... And McDonald's and Taco Bell are, like, way down.
Insulting.
I don't know, but it's confusing to me. I don't know a single person who likes Papa John's. So it suggests to me that there
well,
is...
Well, you're in a pizza bubble, bro.
Yeah, are we in a bubble? Are we in a completely different reality?
Yes.
Than, like, have I not been to real America since I was a child
going to
little...
If you grew up eating fast food pizza...
Right.
And you've never had like a good pizza. Of course, Papa John's is the shit. This much in the same way when I first encountered Papa John's, like, yo, do you fucking garlic sauce and like a pepper in there? Like, I was like, this is next level service or whatever the fuck. But then as you expand your horizon a bit and you're exposed to different kinds of pizza, I'm like, wait, this fucking sucks.
Is this a good time to say I've never been to a Papa John's in my entire life?
No, it isn't a good never time. And let's edit this out.
I'm sorry, you're right.
Wow.
Now everything you said has no weight.
I grew up Geno's. I grew up Geno's.
I grew up Papa Geno's.
PG. You grew up PG-13.
I grew up PG-13.
I think people know that they should respect your food opinions since you shared that you like Subway fast. Subway
sensation. And Mike's harder blood orange.
Another male name is Devin. Miles, take it away.
Wow.
Whoa.
Crushing it.
Thanks for that alley-oop lob, Brian Shaw. Now let Shaquille O'Neal throw it down, my man.
This is going to be great.
So, yes, a boy named Devin. He spoke at a fundraiser in Washington State for Kathy McMorris Rogers, who is the number four Republican in the House. So very up there.
So she's the Pizza Hut of the Republican
she's
House.
A pizza
we will
hut,
be
yes.
relating everything back to that.
Exactly. If Paul Ryan is Chick-fil-A, she is the Pizza Hut. So the event was meant to be like a private fundraiser, meaning like no press, just only wealthy Republicans who are all the homies. So you can talk loose in there because ain't nobody listening.
Right.
And we can just tell our secrets because we're all paying so much money to be there. But Fuse Washington, which is like a progressive sort of watchdog organization, they basically had somebody pay the price to get in here and just record the shit to hear what they were talking about. And so we all know about, you know, Devin Nunes and his love for Trump and how he'll fucking do anything to gum up the whole investigation, whether it's right. the Mueller investigation or the House Intel investigation or fucking Investigation Discovery Channel,
he's a
whatever it
creep.
Is. Yeah, he's just a fucking, you know, he's a lackey.
He's the guy who hopped out of his black car in the middle of traffic to go visit with the president when he got a message from him.
I would love right. to call him a loser to his face. I think it would really
devastate. It would really hurt. Yeah, it would be devastating.
Yeah.
It would be devastating. And if you saw the photo of him in high school, he's got the sickest mullet. It's pretty chill. He's got like a turtleneck with turtleneck sweater mullet combo that only someone from the Central Valley could rock so seamlessly.
Yeah.
But anyway, so suffice it to say, he is totally all in for Trump and will do anything it takes, including completely sacrificing his own morals and just giving up his ability to feel shame. So during this recording, he said a few things that were very interesting. One of the first things that, like, this is all on Rachel Maddow because she exclusively got the tape and aired it last night. One of the first comments was pretty standard stuff, like not totally surprising, where he was sort of saying, like, you know, the president tweets some good stuff sometimes and sometimes, like, makes you want to cringe and blah, 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 which is a little interesting because normally, in his eyes, Trump can do no wrong.
Right.
And also, Devin Nunes has repeatedly been on, like, the nicer end of Trump's Twitter more than once because he's like, all right, good boy, thank you for doing what I need. And so then he got a little bit more and more honest, and some more points came out that are unsettling but make sense given his behavior. So one of the first things he says basically admits that if, like, in a hypothetical world, if you received something from a foreign government and used it in an election that was hacked material, that would be criminal. So listen to this recording of him sort of basically admits that he knows better about what collusion is.
Now, if somebody thinks that my campaign or Kathy's campaign is colluding with the Chinese or you name the country, it could happen. It would be a very bad thing if Kathy was getting secrets from the Portuguese, let's say. Just because I'm Portuguese, but bad. So if Kathy was getting secret information from the Portuguese, may or may not be illegal, but ultimately, if that said the Portuguese came and brought her some stolen email, she decided to release those. Okay, now we have a crime, right? Somebody stole the email, gave it to Kathy released it. Well, if that's the case, then that's criminal.
So what? He basically is describing what is happening right now.
Did he not know he was doing that?
I don't know. I mean, he did a lot of work to not say Russia. He was
right.
like, maybe it's the Chinese or Portuguese, because I'm Portuguese.
Right.
If they gave her hacked emails and she released
them,
that would be criminal. Okay.
He sounds like a high schooler trying to impress his friends by, like, all but saying it just in case it gets leaked, hacked, zeros, ones. But you know, it's like when you're at the lunch table and you're like, guys, we're talking. And it's like, no, you're a dork. Shut up. I like that you can hear in that sound clip, you can hear all the tinkling of forks and knives.
Right. And people being like,
it sounds like people who have really impaired motor skills are using
right.
silverware because it's so loud.
People, for example, yeah, that if you told them Donald Trump wasn't handsome, they'd die in front of you.
Right.
But it is nice that that Subway catered it with all seafood sensations.
All seafood sensation, yes. So,
you can tell.
Yeah, it's, again, it just shows you how blatant he is in his actions, where he knows he's basically trying to obscure criminal behavior by hamstringing the investigation in any way he can. But we knew that, you know, like, obviously he knows better. And then he just shows everybody, yes, I know that if you received hacked information and you used it from another and it came from a foreign government, that is criminal. Thank you for putting on your hacker glasses, Jamie.
I just, on behalf of the community.
Yeah, thank you.
We, of course, are out there hacking.
Stamp it.
We've always been hacking. Zeros, ones, clicking, delete.
Nice. Thank you.
Take my glasses off.
You're in. Now, then he moved on to talking about Rod Rosenstein and essentially how, you know, it's not that they, you know, like, I think someone asked in the fundraiser, like, oh, what's going on with that? And he was sort of framing it of sort of like, well, it's not because we don't want to. It's just like, it's more of a timing thing. So in this, he's going to speak a little bit about why, you know, impeaching Rod Rosenstein would interfere with confirming Brett Kavanaugh to the Supreme Court. And so they can't confirm him and tear down our democracy at the same time, guys, is sort of what he's saying. And so listen to him explain sort of how he sees the sequence happening if they're going to impeach Rod Rosenstein.
So if we actually vote to impeach, and what that does, that triggers the Senate then has to take it up. Well, then you have to decide what you want right now, because the Senate only has so much time. Do you want them to drop everything and not confirm the Supreme Court justice, the new Supreme Court justice? So that's part of why I don't think you have, you're not getting from, like I've said publicly, Rosenstein deserves to be impeached. I mean, so I don't think you're going to get any argument from most of our colleagues. The question is the timing of it right before the election. The Senate would have to drop everything they're doing and start with impeachment on Rosenstein. And then you take the risk of not getting Kavanaugh confirmed. So it's not a matter of that any of us like Rosenstein. It's a matter of timing.
Okay, wow.
Did you hear someone choke to death on their seafood sensation in the middle of that?
It's tough when your audience is entirely tobacco executives.
So it's just like, hurrum, pum, pum, pum.
So yeah, when you hear that one, you're like, oh shit, okay. Clearly, he still has his plan or agenda to try and impeach Rod Rosenstein. Again, if you don't know who Rod Rosenstein is, he's the Deputy Attorney General of the Department of Justice, and he is in charge of the Mueller investigation because Jeff Sessions recused himself, as he should have, because he has, you know, conflicting interests when it comes to this investigation. Mm-hmm. So their whole thing is, well, if the Mueller investigation starts getting too hot, we can impeach Rod Rosenstein and then put someone else in there that will basically either end the Mueller investigation or just kneecap the thing so it can't really do functionally anything. So when you listen to it, it was a little interesting. We were kind of talking about, like, what's going on here? Because on one hand, you have people like Paul Ryan and other top Republicans being like, there's no reason to impeach Rod Rosenstein or whatever. Like, it doesn't make sense. It's just not going to work. So on one hand, I was like, well, maybe he's telling these donors, like, he's trying to protect his ego about, like, oh, I didn't really take that L like that. It's not like they don't back me. Like, it's just a timing thing. Like, we're going to get around to it.
That makes sense to me.
Which makes sense. But also, when you listen to the next thing he says, I can imagine a world where a lot of leadership in the Republican Party is secretly on board with that because their end game is sort of becoming a little bit clearer. So this is now Nunes sort of basically admitting that if the government functions properly and the Department of Justice does what it does, which is, you know, make sure there's no laws being broken, then Trump's presidency would effectively end, and that's why they have to fuck around so much to keep the president in. So this is him sort of showing his hand in terms of what the end game could be.
If Sessions won't refuse and Mueller won't clear the president, we're the only ones. I mean, we have to keep all these things. We have to keep the majority. If we do not keep the majority, all of this goes away.
So those are the stakes of the midterm election.
Yeah, so again, as he says, quote, if Sessions won't unrecuse and Mueller won't clear the president, we are the only ones, which is really the danger. That's why I keep, and thank you for saying it, by the way, I mean we have to keep all these seats. We have to keep the majority. If we do not keep the majority, all of this goes away. So they know that if they lose the majority, that means the Democrats are in power, and now they can really set the agenda of, like, what Trump's future is going to look like. And that's why they're like, well, see, that's why, you know, if we – hopefully we keep the majority so we don't have to fully burn the fucking house down and impeach Rod Rosenstein and tear the DOJ down and like, in that sense, to keep the heat off the president. So they're essentially – you know, that's why we have to do this, guys, because it's just us now.
Right.
It's just us. It's just our thin majority.
And just to be clear and put this all in context, so they're basically saying our last option is to use the Republican-controlled, you know, Congress to, you know, shut the investigation down because the Trump-appointed deputy attorney general, like, won't shut it down, and, you know, they can't get any other way to shut it down. So this is what it's come down to. And he's like one person left who still wants to shut it down.
I hate to bring it back to the forks, but I can't hear anything on that tape other than forks. So there, as that tape goes on, you'll notice the fork sounds diminish. Mm-hmm. And it does remind me of something else that sounds a lot like my not Uncle Mike's terrible Republican band, which is the Jonestown tape, where, you know, it's like it gets quiet as the tape goes on. Mm-hmm. And that is kind of what the whole Nunes dinner is from. Like, are people
slowly winding down, expiring at the table?
So that the hacker news on this is that the seafood sensation everyone was eating was poison.
Oh, wow.
So as Devin Nunes is talking, everyone is slowly dying. And so a bunch of tobacco gods are dead now.
Well, the other thing to notice is Kathy McMorris Rogers, so she had a primary in Washington, mm-hmm. and she like barely got out of there, mm-hmm. like alive. Like because they also have a jungle primary like in California where the top two vote getters face off in the midterm election in November.
Right.
She barely got in.
Okay.
And for being that high up
in
the party.
So she came in second?
And I think she was first, but like not in a way
not
that like an incumbent should normally win.
Right.
Which I think is another indication too, because this was before the primaries happened, that she was clearly feeling the heat already. And they were kind of in this thing where like, yo, even the number four Republican, like it's closing in on them too. Like people are just sort of getting a little bit weary of their fuckery.
Who'd she almost get beat by? Was it a Democrat or like a further right Republican?
No, it's a Democrat.
Wow.
Oh, that's great.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, no, in her primary, she had a lead of a little more than 500 votes.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Well, in other tape news, Omarosa was apparently taping the president during her time in the White House. We don't know what is going to be on that tape. I'd imagine it won't be much good, but who the fuck knows?
Yeah, I read an article where someone was saying like they, after speaking with people who had heard the recordings, it wasn't really that great. It's like,
yeah.
Oh, you recorded him, but I don't know. Maybe Omarosa isn't. She's only letting people know like I have tapes, but
right.
I haven't showed you the bangers on this album.
Right,
right, right, right.
Shout out to the album "Bangers" by Miley Cyrus,
one of the greats. yeah, and her book might have like some Fire and Fury style funsies that we can get.
Yeah,
out of it, but
I mean,
we'll see.
Also, I mean, like, what a blatant cash grab, too. Like, if Sean Spicer's book wasn't enough, like, hers is just called Unhinged.
Right.
I think all caps.
I do love that title.
Yeah.
I really
oh, it's great.
Love
I just wish
title.
It was someone whose book I'd want to buy called Unhinged.
It might as well just be like, ah! Like,
real monsters.
I go back to that Big Brother tape often in my mind.
Oh, man.
Of her just being like, it's not good.
It's bad.
It's so bad.
So bad.
Which is exactly what I think everybody was assuming, but to see somebody who was previously a big supporter of his be that terrified is
yeah,
still mm-hmm. scary. All right, let's take a quick break. And we're back. And I think it was last night on Kimmel, Kanye. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Kanye showed up.
Showed up.
And
he ghosted some other shows.
So they've had a feud in the past?
Oh, yeah. Remember?
It was like
remember,
a low-key feud,
well,
though.
On Twitter, remember they were going back and forth?
That's
and like
true.
That's when like Virgil Abloh was helping him make memes to like clap back at him when it was like SpongeBob SquarePants and he's like Jimmy Kimmel face looking motherfucker. Like it was this weird.
Right.
It was like right around the Yeezus album, I remember, when they were fucking going at it and then they squashed it or whatever. So yeah, when he showed up yesterday, I was like, ooh.
It was like a 22-minute interview in total. And I really love Jimmy Kimmel as an interviewer, actually. Like,
yeah.
he's never rubbed me the wrong way. He's always really nice, and, like, he still is funny without being obnoxious.
Right.
And I really like the interview. I think, I mean, Kanye is just a character, but his, I don't know. I liked how Jimmy spun it all, because he always was, like, underlying, like, Donald Trump sucks, Donald Trump sucks.
And Kanye didn't really have anything rhetoric.
No.
Like, he didn't have a rebuttal to any
right.
of that, aside from, like, he would just say his point, like, I had to build up a lot of confidence to put that MAGA hat on. It wasn't because of that. It was more of a symbolic moment for me to, like, take
be contrarian. Control.
Yeah, or just like, be like, I'm going to do this thing I want. I don't care what the repercussions are. I want to wear the hat or whatever. And sure, but there was one moment that was so good where you could tell Kanye doesn't really, he's not in the ring with intellectual heavyweights too often trying to defend his position.
Right.
Because Jimmy Kimmel.
No one questions him probably.
Yeah. Well, Jimmy Kimmel just melted him with one question, basically. So I think we'll play a clip of Kanye kind of talking about his love for Trump, how fucking love can solve everything. And then Jimmy Kimmel gets him real good.
When I see people just even like go at the president, it's like, why not try love? For one person to stand up against all odds and just hug somebody the way that Alice Johnson hugged her family when she got out of jail. That one by one by one, we can defuse this nuclear bomb of hate that we're in as a society by thinking of everyone as our family. And how would we treat our kids, how we treat our
I think
aunties.
That's a beautiful thought, but just in literal terms, there are families being torn apart at the border of this country. There are literally families being torn apart as a result of what this president is doing. And I think that, you know, we cannot forget that, whether we like his personality or not, his actions are really what matter. I mean, you so famously and so powerfully said, George Bush doesn't care about black people. It makes me wonder what makes you think that Donald Trump does, or any people at all. Why don't we take a break? We'll come back and Kanye West.
Every time Kanye gets nervous in this interview, he crosses his arms.
Yeah, he's so transparent. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like his, you know, the few times where you can read someone's body language is Kanye, because he's signaling directly like, okay, let me close off to what you're saying now. And then, okay, what do you... So what you can't see, because this is an audio podcast, is right after he asks that question, Kanye's like, he takes in, he leans back like he's about to say something, and then just kind of goes...
Right.
And then Kimmel just mercifully is just like, okay, let's take a break, because you don't need to take that much of an L on camera. And then, but the thing that disappointed me a little bit is when they came back, they just kind of went back to other topics.
Yeah, he never answered it.
Yeah, and I think you need to... You know, hold this man's feet to the fire, because he doesn't even really know where he lands, Kanye, because he hasn't really thought about any of this shit. And also, when he said when he brings up Alice Johnson, that was the woman that Kim Kardashian caped for and then got the pardon, right? He was like, well, why can't, when she comes out and hugs her family, like blah, blah, blah. That's love between a family where there is love that exists. Right. That is not
people
a situation.
Who supported her.
Yeah, that is not an adversarial relationship. Yeah. So what the fuck are you talking? Like, that's where you're like, oh man, you're just talking out loud.
You're so detached from reality. It's absurd.
Well, you know.
But I do like Jimmy Kimmel and how he handled it, though. He's a smart man.
Yeah, yeah. He didn't get real messy about it, but he just brought up a few things. Like, okay, I'm gonna leave that there. You realize you couldn't answer that, so just let that marinate.
I mean, his views are very obviously shown. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, he's not gonna just like jack him off as he's like interviewing him. I like that about Jimmy Kimmel. He's not like Jimmy Fallon, just like laughing at every joke.
Who jacks everyone off on camera? Yeah,
yeah. Most people who don't live out here don't know that, but he's constantly jacking his guests off. Just
especially Trump.
Little known fact.
You don't see that's actually a
you're
green
just sensitive
screen
because that's your name.
Right. That is true. I was constantly called jack off when I was when I was a kid.
The sweat rolled down his face.
Are you crying?
He's not crying, okay?
No, these are tears of laughter.
Called courage water. Courage water coming out my face.
Courage sweating.
It means my courage is so much, it's coming out my pores and my eyes.
I thought it was really smart that he pointed out that he was like, yes, you're viewing that as a completely personality-based thing.
Right.
Right.
And that is true of narcissists. That's true of Trump. That's true of Kanye. It seems that everything is just personality-based. And I think it's also true of our media, that we tend to just, you know, when we're viewing elections or these stories, we're just like, it into world wrestling.
Even with like the Me Too stuff, there are people who like, some people, if you're a fan, like there's that first layer of like, oh, but... that person's cool.
Right.
Am I willing to remove that from the like observing this situation? So
I think it's interesting that you started out talking about like not knowing the difference between a character and a non-fictional thing and a character and a fictional thing, because I think that kind of breaks down for us a lot of the time, that a lot of these celebrities are just kind of fictional characters.
Right, right.
You know Kanye is not a fictional character though, right? You called him a character. You know he's just
He's a real person.
Shit. Yeah.
I'm so sorry. Yes, that is sadly.
I did like when Kimmel, when he brought him out, he described him as like a very talented musician, whatever, whatever. And the last thing was shoe salesman. And he brought him out.
All right, that's going to do it for this week's Weekly Zeitgeist. Please like and review the show if you like the show. It means the world to Miles. He needs your validation, folks. I hope you're having a great weekend, and I will talk to you Monday. Bye.